Turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. I'd like to deal this evening with verses 9 to 11. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our glorious Father, we indeed realize this evening that as we approach You, we are able to do so only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indescribable is His glory. Indescribable is Your grace and mercy to us, to grant unto us an understanding of that which You have set forth in Your Word by Your Son, revealed by Your Spirit. We ask You this evening to bless the preaching and the hearing of the Word. Lord, we ask You to bless those places where men stand even now, setting forth the Word of God. We pray, Father, for those that You have set Your affection on eternally. Praying, Lord, You'd call them out by Your grace, mercy, Word. We ask You to bless us tonight. For Christ's sake, amen. I've mentioned this before concerning this particular passage of Scripture. This is one of those passages that, for me, I know that there are passages that the Spirit of God has blessed to your heart in such a way that you, by God's grace, are lost in the wonder of the truth, of the revelation of that which is set forth. This is one of those verses that to me sets forth a truth that I may be able to, by faith, enter into, though I may not or cannot and do not. I admit, how can these things be so? But by the grace of God Almighty, as we look into these Scriptures, I pray the Lord would truly bless it to our heart. Verse 9 of chapter 4 says, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon." Wonderful are the words of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for His bride. These are not words of mockery. He Himself, as God speaks, God who cannot lie, the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth that which is absolutely so. No way could this be known except by the revelation of His thoughts for His bride. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and this is what we're doing. We come together for the comfort, for the glory of God Almighty, and for the comfort of God's people. We sit down, and this is what we come to do, not to entertain, not to find something to do for the kids. This is what we do. We come and we sit and we consider the Word of God. And all that we are to do is to look into the Scriptures, setting forth that which God has said, and the Spirit of God takes that Word, and by that Word calls out all that God has everlastingly loves, and comforts the sheep, establishes them. The causing of their conscience, as Brother Scott just said, to be soothed, to be quieted, because they hear this is what He says that He has done for me. Not what I've done for Him, what He's done for me. Set His affection. Thou hast ravished my heart. That word ravished has immense meaning, of which I am convinced I cannot set forth in its fullness. I know that. He says, "You've ravished my heart." How can I? How can any man set forth the fullness of that which Christ says His bride has done to Him? You've ravished my heart. That word means, in one sense, I am overcome with joy and delight. You've ravished my heart. Here is the depth of revelation that is too wonderful to be comprehended in its completeness by the believer. I could understand it easier in my little fickle mind if the bride said to him, "You've ravished my heart," which the Lord Jesus Christ has done that. The new heart, the new mind, the new creature, the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus, Christ has ravished her, stolen her heart. She loves Him because He first loved her. But He says, "You have ravished my heart." The Lord Himself reveals Himself to be wounded in heart with the dart of love. Turn with me to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Scripture says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Now listen to this. "Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Who, for the joy that was set before Him. As the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, as He beholds the bride, that bride that had been given Him by the Father from the foundation of the world, betrothed to Him eternally, as He looked upon her for the joy that was set before Him, set His face like a flint, He endured the cross. "You have ravished my heart." The thought, if I can say this, and put it into words that give honor unto Him. The thought of spending eternity with her heartened Him. You've ravished my heart. Joy fills my heart. He has made His spouse to be perfectly beautiful in His sight with the imputed righteousness that He has given her. And He is ravished with joy. That's what Scripture said, for the joy that was set before Him, and delight to look upon her. You have ravished me with your beauty. I began to think upon this thought, and I thought for simply, when I paint a picture, I sit down and I start struggling with it. It starts off, it's just a white canvas. It's canvas, that's all it is. And as I began to put some paint on it, I try to start making it look like something, a human being. And as I began to paint and struggle with it, and it is a struggle, believe me, I've had people say, I bet it's a real comfort to be able to sit down. It's not me, it's a job. It's hard. As I began to struggle with it, and I make it and I look at it, and then that eye doesn't look just right, and I'll take turpentine and I'll wipe it off. Do it again, and do it again, till finally it gets to the finished product, and it then looks like something, hopefully. I look at it, and I think to myself, I know what that looks like. I know what it is. I know what's under it. Someone else looks at it and they say, oh, that's nice. That looks good. I look at it and it really doesn't impress me that much, because I know what's under it. I know what it's made out of. Someone else looks at it. They think it's beautiful. Or they say they do to make me feel good. I look at it and I say there's impurities underneath it. Not so the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at her altogether lovely in Him and only in Him. You have ravished me. I look at what I did and I'm not impressed. He looks at what He's done and He says, you've ravished me. With one of your eyes, you've drawn my heart to you. You have, the Hebrew says this, you have behearted me. You have stolen my heart. It's what a man says to a woman, you know, falls in love with her. She stole my heart. You've ravished me. Wonderful is this thought. For there's nothing within the bride by nature that's lovely. All that she is in His sight, she is by His creation. He made her, adored her, adorned her, washed her, imputed to her His righteousness. But this is real love. Herein, 1 John 4:10 says His love. Not that we loved God. This is love. Herein is love. Not that we love Him. Here's love. That He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. What shall He not do for the good of the ones that He loves? He moves nations for her. Loves her everlastingly. We would not and do not by nature love Him. But His love for us His love for His Father is bound up in that everlasting love, that everlasting covenant. His love, His obedience, His righteousness as the God-man is ours by imputation. He has made us to be beautiful. We have a new heart given by the Spirit of God that actually loves Him and obeys Him. Lord willing, I'm going to deal with this Sunday on this subject of sanctification. What is it? The Lord says, if you love me, if you follow me, if you keep my commandments. What does that mean? I'm telling you, the bride of Christ loves Him, truly loves Him. He beholds that love, that hungering and thirsting after Him, and He says, you've ravished my heart. You say, how do you know that? Because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. That means this, the communication of His secrets. We have them revealed to us in His Word. And when He says, you've ravished me, you've ravished my heart with one of your eyes, you've ravished me, you've stolen my heart, the bride can say this, oh, the indescribable mercy of Almighty God, that He would set His affection on me. Because I know this, that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. He's loved me. He endured the cross, despising the shame, set down the right hand of the throne of God, thereby having glorified the Father in the redemption of all that the Father had given Him. And for the good of the elect, He is their Redeemer. He's their King. He's their husband. But who is it that has ravished His heart? Well, He says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, and my spouse. He said, you're my sister. We are His brethren by divine election, chosen by the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, considered in Him, who is not ashamed, the Scripture says, to call us brethren. Because He that sanctifieth, or that is, makes holy, and they who are sanctified, that is, made holy, are all of one. We have the same Father by regeneration, same nature, having been given the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, His righteousness, not His essential nature. I mean, there is that righteousness. He is God Himself, but as a man, He earned a righteousness and charged it, imputed it to the elect. John says in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He said, you're my sister. You're my brethren. Sons of God. Predestinated us, the Scripture says, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Behold, now are we the sons of God. Yes, I do know, though carrying about us a body of sin, the presence of sin, yet by regeneration, being quickened by the Spirit of God, we are made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what 2 Peter 1:14 says. As the King's daughter, we are His brethren. When the Lord Jesus saw her in the fall of Adam, He loved her. and indeed purposed to redeem her. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 says to sanctify. That means to set apart. And I want to be careful. I don't want to get too far into this. But to sanctify. To set apart for God's use only. To be holy. To be used by no other. Those that are sanctified are not their own. Bought with a price. Purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Set apart. But the Scripture says to sanctify and cleanse her with His blood that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but to be holy and without blemish. Oh, but daily He cleanses her from the defilement of sins by the washing of her conscience by the Word of God. Washes her, teaches her, and her conscience is cleansed. She knows in herself. She knows what she is. She sees something of the presence of sin and grieves over it. The Lord tells her, "You've ravished me with one of your eyes, my sister, my spouse." Continually, He reminds her how great has been His love for her eternally, redeeming her from her sins and the penalty of the law's curse. She's His sister by obedience. Matthew 12:50 says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now, as to the doing of the will of my Father, let me just say a few words of comfort to those believers that examines daily the working of those two principles within himself, the law of sin and the law of God. Turn to Romans 7:22. Romans 7:22. Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." When the Lord revealed in Ezekiel, He said, "I'm going to remove that heart of stone, that stony, rebellious heart that has not the law of God written on it. And I will give them a new heart, heart of flesh. And I'll write my law on their heart." The believer has the law of God written on his heart. There's a new creature, a new man, a new creation, a rebirth, God's workmanship. And Paul reveals, he said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind," that is, that new mind, that new man, new creature, "I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." There is a struggle. Though man by nature does not understand this, there is within a believer the law, an old nature, that law of sin that is in his members. It's there. And it wars against the law of God Almighty, that new man, that new creature that has been imparted, spirit, new heart, new man, Paul says, I serve the law of God with that new man, in that mind. But he said, I see a war, strife. And I'm telling you, God's people, a believer, the Scripture says, revealed by Paul the Apostle, serve the law of God in their mind. They serve Him. Lord willing, I'll deal with that this Sunday. He sees then in his flesh a law that strives and struggles, but the Lord Jesus Christ sees in His bride a love for Him that is real. You've ravished me. He reveals that in just a few minutes in verse 10. How fair is thy love? It's sincere, is what he said. It's real. It's real. It's not a tainted, insincere. God's people love Him. They do love Him. There's a new creature, and it's written on their heart, the law of God. They've kept His Word. You know the strange thing about when God Almighty reveals something concerning a believer, things are as God says they are, not as I perceive them or you perceive them. A perfect example of this, and I'll just quote this for the sake of time, and I see my time is running very short. The Scripture reveals when Moses killed the Egyptian there in Egypt. He realized very quickly the next day that it was known. Some of his brethren saw him do it. This Egyptian, remember, was beating one of the Hebrews. And Moses came and to the defense of that Hebrew and killed that Egyptian, buried him, covered him over. Thought nobody saw. The next day, a couple of the Hebrews were arguing, and Moses told them, basically, y'all shouldn't be doing this. Why don't you straighten up? One of them says, what are you going to do to me, what you did to that Egyptian yesterday? Is that what you're going to do? You going to kill me like you killed him? And Moses knew that he had been seen, it says, and so he left. He fled Egypt because he said, surely if it's known, you know, harm will come to me. So he fled. The Scripture says in Hebrews concerning Moses' faith that Moses feared not Pharaoh. But because of his desire to be with the people of God, rather than stay in Egypt and remain there for the pleasures of sin, which but for a season he left. You say, well, I don't remember that being exactly the way it said it in the book of Exodus. God said, this is the reason he left. We are what God says we are. God Almighty says that we serve Him, that we love Him, that we look upon Him and trust Him, though we see so little of it in ourselves. The Scripture reveals that the bride, with one of her eyes, has ravished the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of your eyes. Let me just look upon this right here. One of your eyes, and then I'm going to stop for tonight because there's too much that I'd like to say and not enough time to say it, and I don't want to weary you. But when he says to her, you have stolen my heart, you have behearted me, my sister, by electing grace, my spouse, by being betrothed to me from the foundation of the world, you have stolen my heart, ravished with one of your eyes. Now, what could he possibly have been talking about with one of her eyes? Turn with me to Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18. Let's read verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. This is what she knows, by the eyes of her understanding being enlightened. This is what she knows. That ye may know what is the hope of His calling. That's the first thing she knows. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's the next thing she knows. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. The eyes of her understanding has been opened. God has given her an understanding to see some things. She knows what the hope of His calling is. She knows what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is. She knows something of the exceeding greatness of His power, because her eyes have been opened. The Lord says, "You've ravished my heart with one of them." The understanding of the bride looking upon Him and seeing Him and knowing Him. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And when He beholds that which God Almighty has done for her in revealing Christ to her, she looks upon Him by faith with the eyes of her understanding being enlightened. And she looks upon Him with love and wonder and trust. And He said, "You steal my heart when you look upon me. You have ravished me with one of your eyes, my sister, my spouse, with one chain of your neck." One chain of your neck. Chapter 1, verse 10 of Song of Solomon says, "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold." These graces that have been given her. Last verse. I said last verse maybe a while ago. This is the last verse. Ezekiel 16. Look at me. Look with me. Ezekiel 16:10. He says, "You've ravished me with one of your eyes," and all of those lists of the eyes of her understanding being opened. He says, "You've ravished me with just one chain of your neck." Ezekiel 16, and beginning in verse 10, he said, "I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee with fine linen." I won't go into all of these right now, but you know that the fine linen is a picture of the righteousness of the saints. You know that. "I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hand and a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel in thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour." You remember the fine flour? The meat offering, the eating of the person of Christ, "and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom." The Lord said, "You ravished me with one of your eyes and just one chain of your neck." Oh, the indescribable glory of Almighty God revealed to the bride when He tells her, reveals to her His love for her in what He has made her to be. He has made her in Himself to be without spot, without blemish. Altogether lovely is she in Him. You've ravished me. You stole my heart. I have heart for no one but You. His love for the Father expressed when He said, I've glorified Thee. Now glorify Me with the glory that I had with You before the world was. He loved us and gave Himself for us. Our Father, how we thank You for the wonder and the comfort of knowing, Lord, that You have set Your love and affection upon us. Lord, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to Your mercy, You saved us. Mercy, grace, how wonderful is that sound. And Lord, that You would, according to Your own will and purpose, because it pleased You, chose us, because You chose to do so. How it comforts our heart that You would give us a heart to love You and realize Your love for us. We thank You for the revelation of Your truth. For Christ's sake, amen.